by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ ویلکم ٹو اور پروگرام رائز اینڈ شائن الحمدللہ عزوجل آئی ہوپ You all rise and shine, mashallah, azawajal, and you are ready for the program. Remember, whenever we listen to the Quran, we listen to it attentively and carefully. The ulama, the scholars, they say, whenever you listen to the Quran, always listen to the Quran attentively, carefully, so that not only, you know, do we listen to the Quran, but we get the blessings and the benefits of reading the Quran as well. So let's go towards the recitation of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-habib. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالی کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
قل لا اجد فيما اوحی الی محرما علی طاعم یطعمه الا ان یکون میتة او دما مسفوحا او لحم خنزیر فانه رجس او فسقا اهل لغیر اللہ به
تم فرماؤ میں نہیں پاتا اس میں جو میری طرف وحی ہوئی کسی کھانے والے پر کوئی کھانا حرام مگر یہ کہ مردار ہو یا رگوں کا بہتا خون یا بد جانور کا گوشت کہ وہ نجاست ہے یا وہ بے حکمی کا جانور جس کے ذبح میں غیر خدا کا نام پکارا گیا
فمن اضطر غیر باغ ولا عاد فإن ربک غفور رحیم
تو جو ناچار ہوا نہ یوں کہ آپ خواہش کرے اور نہ یوں کہ ضرورت سے بڑھے تو بے شک اللہ بخشنے والا مہربان ہے
وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا كُلَّ ذِي زُفُرٍ ومن البقر والغنم حرمنا عليهم شحومهما إلا ما حملت ظهورهما أو الحوايا أو ما اختلط بعض
اور یہودیوں پر ہم نے حرام کیا ہر ناخن والا جانور اور گائے اور بکری کی چربی ان پر حرام کی مگر جو ان کی پیٹھ میں لگی ہو یا آنت میں یا ہڈی سے ملی ہو
ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِبَغِيهِمْ وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ
ہم نے یہ ان کی سرکشی کا بدلہ دیا اور بے شک ہم ضرور سچے ہیں
فَإِن كَذَّبُوكَ فَقُلْ رَبُّكُمْ ذُو رَحْمَةٍ وَاسِعَةٍ
پھر اگر وہ تمہیں جھٹلائیں تو تم فرماؤ کہ تمہارا رب وسیع رحمت والا ہے
وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُهُ عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ
اور اس کا عذاب مجرموں پر سے نہیں ٹالا جاتا
سَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا مِن شَيْءٍ
اب کہیں گے مشرک کہ اللہ چاہتا تو نہ ہم شرک کرتے نہ ہمارے باپ دادا نہ ہم کچھ حرام ٹھہراتے
كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِهِمْ حَتَّى ذَاقُوا بَأْسَنَا
ایسا ہی ان سے اگلوں نے جھٹلایا تھا یہاں تک کہ ہمارا عذاب چکھا۔
قل هل عندكم من علم فتخرجوه لنا،
تم فرماؤ کیا تمہارے پاس کوئی علم ہے کہ اسے ہمارے لیے نکالو۔
ان تتبعون الا الظن وان انتم الا تخرصون،
تم تو میرے گمان کے پیچھے ہو اور تم یوں ہی تخمینے کرتے ہو۔
قل فللہ الحجت البالغہ،
تم فرماؤ تو اللہ ہی کی حجت پوری ہے۔
فلو شاء لہداکم اجمعین،
تو وہ چاہتا تو تم سب کو ہدایت فرماتا۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
ماشاءاللہ، صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم۔ الحمدللہ عزوجل، we listen to the glorious Quran, and alhamdulillah azawajal, whenever the Quran is being recited, you know, we should try to listen to it attentively. And those who did listen to it attentively, you know, the Quran, you know, as they say, it affects your heart, doesn't it? Alhamdulillah azawajal, that is the beauty of the Quran. And even the non-Muslims, whenever they listen to the Quran when it's being recited, you know, they feel a change as well. And if you ask a lot of people that have accepted Islam, one of the reasons that they have accepted Islam is because they have listened to the Quran. It's all right, I've just been told where I need to look. So alhamdulillah azawajal, we need to read the Quran every single day, not just once a week or once a month or in Ramadan or when someone passes away in our family. The Quran should be read every single day. And alhamdulillah azawajal, try to read one para. You know, our Buzurgan Adin rahimahumullah, they used to read the Quran, one Quran every night. Sayyiduna Ghawth-e Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala, he finished the Quran for so many years, one Quran every night. Sayyiduna Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, in the month of Ramadan, he used to finish 61 Quran Pak. Now that is amazing. How did he get that time? How did he recite 61 times? It all matters how much love we have for the Quran. So please try to build that love of the Quran in your heart, in your mind, and recite the glorious Quran. Inshallah, azawajal, it's time for a beautiful kalam. Let's listen to a beautiful kalam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Mustafa, Mustafa, aur unki aal, panjatan, panjatan hai ba kamal. Mustafa aur unki aal, panjatan, panjatan hai ba kamal.
Mujh pe kitna niyazi karam ho gaya, duniya kehne lagi panjatan ka gada. Is gharane ka jab se main naukar hua, sab se achhi meri naukri ho gayi.
میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں، میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں،
میں غلام ابن غلام ہوں، میں فقیر خیر الانام ہوں،
میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں، میں تو پنجتن کا غلام،
مجھے عشق ہے تو خدا سے ہے، مجھے عشق ہے تو رسول سے، یہ کرم ہے سارا بطول کا، میرے منہ سے آئے مہک صدا جو میں نام لوں تیرا جھوم کے،
میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں، میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں، مصطفیٰ اور ان
کیا پنجتن ہے باگوا میں تو پنجتن کا اولاد ہوں میں تو پنجتن کا اولاد
مجھے عشق سر وہ سمن سے ہے مجھے عشق سارے چمن سے ہے مجھے عشق ان کے وطن سے ہے مجھے عشق ان کی گلی سے ہے مجھے عشق ہے تو علی سے ہے مجھے عشق ہے تو حسن سے ہے مجھے عشق ہے تو حسین سے مجھے عشق شاہ زمن سے ہے
میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں مصطفیٰ اور ان کی آگیا پنجتن ہے باگوا میں تو پنجتن کا اولاد ہوں میں تو پنجتن کا اولاد
ہوا کیسے تن سے وہ سر جدا جہاں عشق ہے وہیں کربلا میری بات انہی کی بات ہے میرے سامنے وہی ذات ہے وہی جن کو شیر خدا کہیں جنہیں باب صلی علی کہیں وہی جن کو ذات علی کہیں وہی پوختہ ہے میں تو خام ہوں
میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں مصطفیٰ اور ان کی آگیا پنجتن ہے باگوا میں تو پنجتن کا اولاد ہوں میں تو پنجتن کا اولاد
میں قمر ہوں شاعر بے نوا میری حیثیت ہی بھلا ہے کیا وہ ہے بادشاہوں کے بادشاہ میں ہوں ان کے در کا بس ایک گدا میرا پنجتن سے ہے واسطہ میرا نسبتوں کا ہے سلسلہ میں فقیر خیر الانام ہوں
میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں میں تو پنجتن کا غلام ہوں
کیا بات رضا
کیا
اس چمنستان کرم کی زہرا ہے
ہے کلی جس میں حسین اور حسن پھول حسن
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Dear viewers, you are watching our program Rise and Shine in the morning. Alhamdulillah, we try to bring a lot of segments during this program so that we can learn the hadith. We have a daily reminder as well. Inshallah, we're going to go through that. But we also have a very important message for the people in the form of a topic that we discuss every day. And the topic that we're going to be talking about today is about brotherhood. Bhai Chara is called brotherhood. Now, why is it important? I've got a few things that I want to discuss with yourself about Bhai Chara, about brotherhood. You know, there is a verse inside the glorious Quran, and the scholars, they mention that Allah Azza wa Jal has made Muslims as brothers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. All Muslims are brothers. Now, when you are a brother, you need to make sure that nothing is done to your brother, either physically, mentally, or by anything and any other way as well. The verse in the Quran, it talks about unity and brotherhood. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He talks about how much important unity is amongst the Muslim Ummah. Today, sadly, we'll find out that pockets of people don't have that unity. You know, especially when it comes down to our own brothers, our own sisters, our home, we don't have that brotherly love. You know, and this brotherly love, I also include about our sisters, our mothers. We don't have that anymore. You know, there are so many homes, maybe everyone sat at home. We've got problems with our brothers. We've got problems with our sisters. We don't get along with them. You know, we always, you know, argue amongst one another. And this is very important that as Muslims, we should all unite together. We should all live together and pray that Allah Ta'ala gives us that unity amongst the Muslim Ummah. And it says that in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal, He clearly states that Muslims should hold firmly the rope of Allah Azza wa Jal, and O people, be brothers. Yani for those people who have accepted Islam, Allah Ta'ala has given us this beautiful deen of Islam. Inna deena inda Allah al-Islam. Allah Ta'ala has given us Islam. And Islam is our beautiful deen. And in this deen, we unite under this umbrella of Islam. No matter if that person is from Pakistan, if that person lives in the UK, if that person is in China, America, Canada, South Africa, wherever you are, as long as you are a Muslim, you are a brother of another Muslim. And the Quran, it talks about brotherhood, and it talks about how important this brotherhood is in Islam as well. And it says that there is a very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, do not hate each other, do not envy each other, do not turn away from each other, but rather be servants of Allah as brothers. It is not lawful for a Muslim to boycott his brother for more than 3 days. This is Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, don't hate each other, don't envy each other. Why should we envy our own brother? You know, it doesn't matter if that person is your blood brother, if that person is your relative, whoever that person is. In Islam, we are all as brothers. Just like you see a tasbih, you know, the tasbih where you do the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. All the seeds in that tasbih, they're all enrolled into one. And this is what the beauty of Islam is. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, don't hate each other. You know, and suddenly we see that we can't stand my own brother. We can't stand them. He's successful in his business. We can't stand him. He's successful in another form of life, in another field of life. We can't stand him. Why is he more successful than I am? Why is he, you know, doing better business than I am? Why has he got a beautiful voice and I don't? Why is he that, you know, he's got a good family, he's got no problems, he's got a good job, he's got a car, and I don't. These are all the things that as Muslims, we need to save ourselves. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he further on, he says, do not envy one another. Don't, you know, don't have jealousy amongst one another as well. Now, jealousy is a different topic, and we've discussed that many times, but don't have jealousy for your brother as well. Now, if someone has jealousy, in actual fact, the scholars, they say that that person is not happy in the taqseem of Allah Azza wa Jal, in what Allah Ta'ala has divided amongst the people, that person is not happy. Why? Because he is indirectly saying that, Ya Allah, I'm not happy with you because you haven't given me. You've given him more than me. If that person is a Muslim, then we should be making dua for him. You know, we should not envy him, but rather, you know, we say the envy that we should have is that, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, you've given him more than I, but Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, give him more and bless me as well. There's a very famous story about a businessman in Madinatul Munawwara. Someone came to him and they said that, I need this type of cloth and that color. And he had that in stock. He had that stock, he had the color, he had the type of cloth. But the trader, the businessman, he says to that customer, he says, please do me a favor. I've had a good day today. I've had good business today. I've sold what I needed to sell. I've had my, you know, as they say, my daily target has been fulfilled. My brother across the road, he'll have the same color. He'll have the same type of cloth. Why don't you go and buy it from him? Because I've seen that he's been really quiet today in his business. So that person, he says to him that, why are you sending me to him? You could have earned that money as well. But this is the beauty of Islam. Our pious predecessors, they would take care of one another. They would take care of each other's rights as well. And as Muslims, remember, we're going to be asked on the day of judgment. Another very important narration that the scholars, they say, is for those who have belief, including the virtuous ancestors of Islam, many who persisted in the previous prophets and general mass of practitioners throughout history. This degree of brotherhood includes purifying the core of hostility, hate and malice. Yeah, when your brother is there with you, make dua for him. Try to remove that from your heart and from your mind as well. And there's another faith in line, and it's a story that it opens our minds. It's about shaitan. Now, one day what happens, the shaitan, he has his finger raised up like this. And the person walks past him, and the shaitan is in the form of a human. And he says that, oh shaitan, why have you got your finger up like this for? And the shaitan, he says that, with this finger, I will destroy this whole city, this whole village. I will destroy it. And the person, he says, how will you destroy the whole village? And the shaitan, he says, I'll show you. So what happens is, in the village or in the city, there is a person who makes sweets and is boiling all the sugar in a big cauldron, in a big, you know, where we say pot, and he's making sugar in that. Now, what the shaitan does, he takes a bit of that sugar and he just flicks it onto the wall. Now, what happens is flies come onto that sugar. Obviously, where there's sugar, you'll see a lot of flies there. So the flies, they go on top of that sugar. There's a lizard nearby, and the lizard is ready to pounce on the flies to eat them. And then there is a cut that the person, the shop owner, or the person who is making the confectionery, the sweets, his cat is also there as well. And the cat is waiting to pounce on the lizard. And then what happens is, to walking through the village, there are two soldiers and they have a dog with them. And the dog is ready to pounce on the cat. So what happens is, when the dog, it pounces on the cat falls into the cauldron and the cat dies. And the shop owner, the confectioner, when he sees that his cat has died because of that dog, he kills the dog. And these soldiers, when they find out that this person has killed their dog, they go and they kill that person. And when the people, the confectioner, the person, when his relatives find out that these two soldiers have killed our cousin, they go and they kill them soldiers. And when the army finds out that two of our men have been killed by these villagers, what they do is they destroy the whole village. And then this is what the shaitan meant, that with my finger, I will destroy the whole village. And we see that today as well, sadly. Let me just mention a few ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrating to, you know, quarrels and all these evil effects that he says. Sayyidina Imam Ibn Hajar Makki rahmatullahi ta'ala, he has said, where the quarrels are for the right cause, even then the abundance makes a person perform impermissible acts. Even though these quarrels are there for a reason, it's not your fault. You haven't done anything wrong. But you are quarreling with another person. Allah Ta'ala, he says in the Quran, that when you see وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا السَّلَامَ, whenever you see an illiterate person, an uneducated person, just walk past him and just say salam and that's it. And this is what we need to understand. If a person doesn't understand the deen, he doesn't understand the morals of the deen, what you need to do is that we need to make sure that we follow our beautiful deen of Islam as well. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. We are going to go into, inshallah Azza wa Jal, our first segment as well. So inshallah Azza wa Jal, the first segment that we are going to have today, inshallah Azza wa Jal, is a daily reminder. We have a daily reminder. And these reminders are there to, you know, seriously wake us up as well. So let's take a daily reminder and see what is being taught to us today, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, Sadrul Afazil Hazrat Maulana Mufti Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Murad Abadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh writes under the ayah Fadhkuruni Adhkurkum. He writes in Tafsir Khazainul Irfan that dhikr is of three kinds. One is lisani, a dhikr which is performed or done through one's tongue. And the second kind is qalbi, meaning a dhikr which is performed or done through one's heart. And the third kind, which he mentions in his Tafsir Khazainul Irfan, is bil jabarih, meaning through one's body parts or physically. Dhikr lisani, this includes tasbih, taqdis, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing hamd, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioning tasbih and fana of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which also includes asking for forgiveness, repenting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through tongue, or making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these are forms of dhikr which are under the definition of lisani dhikr, dhikr through a tongue. And the second kind is dhikr qalbi, and that is the kind of dhikr which is done through one's heart, which includes remembering the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering the azmat and kibriyai of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted status of Rabb ta'ala azza wa jal, and then pondering, reflecting upon the dalail and the reasons and the proofs of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this includes under the definition of dhikr qalbi. As far as dhikr bil jawarih is concerned, it is that form of dhikr where one's body parts and physical worship is just like Hajj, going towards Hajj. This is under dhikr bil jawarih. Whereas Salah is such a beautiful form of ibadah which includes all these forms, subhanallah, tasbih, takbir, fana, qiraat. All these are forms of dhikr lisani which are done in Salah. And khushu and khudu, focus and concentration within Salah, subhanallah, ikhlas, sincerity, that is also something related with one's heart. It is also part of Salah. Whereas qiyam, ruku and sujood are forms of dhikr bil jawarih. So respected viewers of Madani Channel, we should try to do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. And we should do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all different kinds. We should do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our tongue. We should do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our heart. And we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our body too. Inshallah, we will get blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and salvation. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. A very, very important reminder for us. Obviously, one day, me, you, everyone, those who have been born, those who have come to this world, we are going to leave this world one day. So I was just talking about the importance of brotherhood. And I was reading a very important part of a very important topic that we are discussing today. And I just want to carry on with that same as well. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said that the most unliked person in the blessed court of Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is the most quarrelsome, the most unliked person. Yes, sometimes people have this habit, you know, they want to be involved themselves in everything, you know, everything that happens, everything around them, they want to be a part of that. You know, they'll be quarreling, they'll be arguing, and because of that, sadly, you know, there have been cases where people start to argue with one another, and ma'azallah, they start to commit sins as well. Now, here in this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very easy to understand that in the court of Allah, the most unliked person is the one who quarrels. Now, if you have this habit of quarreling with Muslims, arguing with them over little trivial matters, sometimes they don't even bother us. Sometimes they don't even, you know, we don't even need to get involved in there. But sometimes a person just wants to have his penny's worth in there. And then what happens is these quarrels turn into arguments. These arguments then turn into fights. And these fights turn into serious crimes as well. I know of an incident where a person, you know, he was stood on the giveway and he was supposed to be turning right. And this other guy turns left without indicating. So what does this guy do? He turns the car around, follows him, stops him and starts to argue with him. Why did you not give an indicator? I could have pulled out before you. So how many seconds did that take? Just a few seconds, you know, just a matter of 2 or 3 seconds, you know. And then what happened? They started to quarrel, they started to fight. And at the end, when they were fighting, he called his boys, he called his other boys, and they all started to fight. Now it was a gang war over what? A little stupid, trivial thing that he did not indicate. And then what happened? One person ended up in hospital, lost his eye, and the other person had stab wounds. And then what happens is all over the media, is plastered all over the media, Muslims fighting with one another. Now you tell me, you know, the shaitan is the one who makes these quarrels. The shaitan is the one who instigates these things. As Muslims, we should remember that we should fear Allah Azza wa Jal and we should ask Allah Azza wa Jal for repentance. Another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: the person who quarrels without any reason always displeases Allah Azza wa Jal until he gives it up. So he quarrels with another person without any reason, it's none of your business. Yeah, but I need to get involved. Again, you need to have your penny's worth. And then what happens? Allah Ta'ala is displeased with that person until he gives it up. We should understand and we should learn a lesson. The person that I'm quarreling with is a Muslim. He's my brother. I shouldn't be quarreling with him. If he's done anything wrong, then act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمُ لَا يُرْحَمُ. Those who don't have mercy, they don't deserve mercy. If I want Allah to forgive me on the day of judgment, but I myself do not wish to forgive anyone in this world, can you imagine how Allah Ta'ala will deal with us on the day of judgment? So it's very, very important that when it comes down to, you know, talking to Muslims, try to avoid arguments, try to avoid quarrels, especially if that person is your father, if that person is your brother, your mother, or your sister. Nowadays, let's look at our family situation. Brothers don't talk to a brother over little, you know, trivial little things. You know, you said this to my son. Why did you talk to my son like that? Your wives, you know, we argue with them over little things. Why was the food hot? Why was the food cold? Why was there a lot of salt in the food? There was a lot of sugar in the food. All these things, we could avoid them. But why? What happens? Is the shaitan, he's got the grip on our hearts and we are just becoming toys for the shaitan. Sayyidina Ghawth Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala, he said a very beautiful thing. Do not let the shaitan play about with your heart. Do not be a toy for the shaitan. And today that's what's happening. The shaitan grab holds of our ears and we'll be fighting at home. Dekhle, you know, just look at the family, our family lives today. You know, people are so, you know, they've got so many problems. You know, people are falling into depression mode. Why? Because there's so many fights at home. Husband's fighting with his own wife over nothing. Little trivial things. The wife is arguing and fighting with the husband over what? Little trivial things. They don't even need to. We could have sat down and, you know, and sorted them out. Brothers fighting with their own brother over what? A little piece of land. Choti si zameen hai. And we're fighting over that. He might be even fighting with his own parents. Why did you give him more than I? No, it's the father. If he's still alive, then that's the father's choice how much he wants to give of his inheritance. Inheritance is after the death of a person, not whilst he's alive. Whilst he is alive, sometimes, you know, children will go to their father and say, well, can I have my share of inheritance? How can you have the right of inheritance when your dad is still alive? Now, if he does give out something, that's his own accord. He's giving you a share because of his love towards you. It's up to you. It's up to him. And he should give equal share to everyone. But out of a reason, if your father has given a few pounds extra to your small brother or to your big brother or to your sister, that shouldn't matter because that money was not yours anyway. You got that money for free. You don't have to have, you haven't done anything. But still, what happens? People argue, people break relationship. Janab, mar jeen khatam ho gaya mara isne na. My, you know, humne mar jeen khatam kar diya. Don't go to weddings, don't go to khatams, don't even give salam to one another. We'll walk past with one another, but we won't even give salam. We'll be in the masjid, where everyone will be shaking hands after the salah. We won't shake hands with them. I've seen these. Yeah? Normally what happens in the masjid, people make a little line and everyone goes and shake hands with everyone. Assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. But when your own brother comes or your uncle or your taya or your mamu, those people that we don't talk to one another, we skip them. Everyone is looking at us. We'll skip them. We won't give salam to them. Why? Because we don't talk to them. Now, why is this happening? You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, further on, the scholars, they say that a Muslim, you know, it's not halal upon a Muslim, you know, not to talk to another Muslim for more than 3 days. You know, if there's anything, sit down, finish these quarrels, finish these arguments, and get back to his normal. Another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyiduna Ibn Hajjar rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says that a small evil is that a quarrelsome person heart is occupied with quarrels even when offering salah. Yeah, you're offering salah, you're worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, but in the back of your mind, you're just concentrating on what I need to reply. This is what he said to me. Now in your salah, you're worshipping Allah Ta'ala, but yet you're thinking bad about someone else. You're thinking about that person. As Muslims, Piyar Islam Bayu, let's do tawbah. Let's, you know, have the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with us as well. And another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, I guarantee a home in the inner corner of paradise to the one who does not pick a quarrel despite being rightful. Yeah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has guaranteed you paradise, has guaranteed you an abode in paradise, even though you are right, but you are avoiding a quarrel, you are avoiding an argument. That is the true sense of a Muslim. That, you know, a true Muslim will avoid arguments. Okay, what's happened has happened. I don't want to get involved. So, okay, I'm sorry. Even if it's the other person's fault, just say, look, it's my fault. I'm really sorry. Just try to finish them quarrels. Because end of the day, look how the result will be. Yeah, the result is that Allah Ta'ala will give you an abode in paradise. And to go to paradise is not easy. And look how easy Allah Ta'ala has made it for us. If we have this grudge inside our heart, yeah, no way, I'm not going to forgive him. Mari jasa, meta na isi bakshana, meta na isi chona, I'm not going to forgive him. Yeah. Now what will happen? What will you achieve from that? The only thing that we'll achieve is we're just going to lose our own sleep. We're just going to lose our own food. Yeah, people can't think right. They're always doing depression. They're always thinking, how can I take revenge? Why did he say that? I'm going to take revenge. Please don't go away. Whilst inshallah, Azawajal, we go towards our next segment. And inshallah, Azawajal, the next segment we are, if I check here, inshallah, Azawajal, we're going to go towards the daily hadith. Sallu halal habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
One reality that no one can escape from is the reality of death. Whether someone is a believer or not, he cannot deny death. It is to occur most certainly. A person will live for a certain duration and then he will die. Some people die young, some people die old. This is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He has destined for each and every person. Now remember, as Muslims, when someone passes away, when someone dies, our fellow believer, we honor that believer. We go to his funeral prayer. We make dua for him. But in the hadith, we are told certain other things to do on the day of the funeral as well, to gain maximum reward. Let us say a hadith that is found in both Bukhari and Muslim. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala is the narrator. He states, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنِ اتَّبَعَ جَنَازَةَ مُسْلِمٍ إِيمَانًا وَإِحْتِسَابًا Whoever follows the janaza, the funeral procession of a believer in a state of iman and in hope of reward, وَكَانَ مَعَهُ حَتَّى يُصَلِّيَ عَلَيْهَا And he stays with the funeral procession until the funeral salah is offered. وَيَفْرُغَ مِنْ دَفْنِهَا And until the people have finished from burying the deceased person. فَإِنَّهُ يَرْجِعُ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ بِقِرَاطَيْنِ That person returns with ajr, with reward equivalent to two qirat. And each qirat, كُلُّ qiratin مِثْلُ أُحُدٍ And each qirat is equivalent to the Mount of Uhud. Whoever has been to Medina al-Munawwara will know that this mount is not small. The Mount of Uhud is massive. And a person who goes to offer janazah salah, he stays with the funeral procession until the janazah prayer is done, until the burial is done, he will return with the reward equivalent to two qirat. And one qirat is equivalent to Mount Uhud. And he's returning with two qirat. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَنْ صَلَّى عَلَيْهَا ثُمَّ رَجَعَ قَبْلَ أَن تُدْفَنَ فَإِنَّهُ يَرْجِعُ بِقِيرَاتٍ But as for the person who only offers the salah but doesn't go with the funeral procession to the graveyard to bury the person, then he will return with one qirat reward, meaning reward equivalent to Mount Uhud. But the first person, he will gain reward equivalent to two qirat. Allah Ta'ala enable us to honor our fellow believers when they pass away and to fulfill what has been mentioned in this beautiful hadith, to maximize our rewards.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah Azawajal, a very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. You know, we should try to encourage ourselves, our children, to read or to even memorize the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the more the hadith we listen to, and you know, these great scholars, you know, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, look at the love that they had for the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi writes that when I used to write the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to perform ghusl, he used to offer two rak'ats and make dua in the court of Allah and then write the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whenever we listen to these hadith, just think to yourself, there is a lot of hard work and effort behind these hadith as well. I'm going to mention another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relating to our topic today. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, no nation has ever gone astray after remaining on the right path but due to quarrels. So we quarrel with one another, and then what will happen? We will go on the other path as well. So please remember, it's very important as a Muslim, we try to avoid these quarrels, these arguments. Try to diffuse them. You know, if you see another person, you know, talking, and he's talking against someone else, try to diffuse them. Try to, you know, be the mediator between them. Try not to let them fight. But sadly, even that sometimes we can't even just do this basic thing as well. People like to see people fighting. Yeah, we want to love to see them fight. We like to see people arguing. And as a Muslim, we need to understand that arguing with your own brother is not the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And according to the brotherhood of Islam, we should try to avoid that. There's a hadith, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, a bondsman cannot attain the excellence and the reality of iman until he stops quarreling despite being right. Yeah. So despite being right, he cannot achieve the blessings from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So at our home, if something happens, yeah, your wife, you know, she's starting to shout at you, she's saying something to you, then as a Muslim, we should try to avoid that. How do you avoid that? You move out of the room. You sit down, you do perform wuzu, start to read nafal. If your parents are arguing with you, don't reply back to them. If your friend is arguing with you, your adults, your relatives, you know, your brothers, your sisters, they are arguing with you. Never mind, you know, that you need to stay there and argue with them. As a Muslim, just move out of the way. Another very important thing I want to mention, Hazrat Sayyidina Ibn Hajar Makki rahmatullahi ta'ala, he said, where the quarrels are for the right cause, even then their abundance makes a person perform impermissible acts. A small evil is that quarrelsome person's heart is occupied with quarreling after salah. So very beautiful words of wisdom, that even though you are right, try to avoid them. Try to avoid and defuse the situation. Inshallah, so then once we come into that habit, you know, nothing should bother you. Imam Yasir Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, you know, he was our great imam. Once a woman called him, "Oi, show off." And Imam Sahib rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, he said, "I'm not a show off, but I forgive you for the sake of Allah azza wa jalla." Our pious predecessors, the awliya kiram, the sahaba kiram, you know, what do we learn from their lives? We learn that these people would always try to run away from arguments. They would never argue with their brothers. And this is one of the reasons that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the blessed sahaba ikram in the Quran. Ruhama'u baynahum. They were kind, they were rahim to one another, they were kind to one another. As Muslims, we should be kind to one another. Look at our neighbors. Yeah, a neighbor doesn't mean that someone's door is next door to you. The scholars, they define the neighbors as 40 doors around you. 40 doors are in front of you, behind you, on the right, on the left. These are all your neighbors. Yeah, have right. You know, these neighbors, they have rights over you. Make sure you love them. Make sure you respect them. Make sure you help them. You know, try to look after them. Sometimes, you know, we live next door to our neighbor, but we don't even know what is happening. Maybe he's going through a very difficult time. As Muslims, should we not go and approach them? One Buzurg rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, he went to his friend's house because he was struggling financially. So he knocked on the door and his friend opened the door. And he goes, "Look, Eid is coming up. I need to buy some stuff for the home, for the Eid, for the children. But I don't have enough money. Please, can I borrow some money?" And his friend, when he heard that, he started to cry. And the friend, he says that, "Look, if you don't have no money, that's fine. Please stop crying. Why are you crying for?" And the Buzurg rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says, "I'm not crying because I can't give you the money. I'm crying, why did it take you to come to me for me to realize that you needed money? Yeah, I've just realized that you are financially in difficulty. I should have known that. As your friend, I should have known that. What about our relatives? Our relatives may be struggling to pay their mortgage. Yeah, our relatives will be struggling, you know, to get the ends meet, to even bring the daily necessities in our home. But we're there, you know, driving a big Porsche, driving a good car, you know, making extensions to our house, making our life much more easy. But our neighbor is struggling. That neighbor could be my cousin. And as a Muslim, he has more rights. Yeah, because he's now a Muslim and is my relative. And what if that person is my brother, my sister, and they are struggling? And we are giving sadaqah and charity all over the world, but we're not even looking at our own family. So please look at yourself, look at your family members, and just understand that today I will be asked about my neighbors, I'll be asked about my family members as well. From the scholars, we learn about the disadvantages of quarreling. You know, for those people, you know, who have arguments at home, you know, what happens is the shaitan makes you fight with one another. At home, you'll be quarreling, you'll be arguing, you'll be fighting with your own wife. What happens? You know, there's the shaitan, he has his throne near the sea. And every day the shaitan, he gathers everyone together. All the shaitans get together and they tell their big boss what they've done today. And one person stands up and he says, "I've done this, I've done that." And then the shaitan says, "Okay, fine, and sit down." And he says to the other person, "What have you got to tell me?" And he goes, "Boss, I made two Muslims, yani the husband and wife, fight with one another." And the shaitan stands up and he hugs him. And he goes, "You have done the best work." Why has he done the best work? Because these husband and wife, when they fight with one another, what will happen is the family will be destroyed. And that's what the shaitan is wanting. Sayyidina Ubaidah bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu has said that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to tell us about the night of Qadr. You know, that very, very important night of Qadr. He says that Sayyidina Ubaidah bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us to tell us about the night of Qadr. And then what happened? Because two Muslims were quarreling, were fighting with one another, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not tell us about this night of Qadr. If these people were not fighting, we would have known when the night of Qadr would have been. But because they were quarreling and fighting with one another, then what happened is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not tell them when the night of Qadr comes. And this is such a sad thing. Today, Muslims are killing their own friends, are killing their own brothers. Now, sometimes what happens is people don't realize that they are causing another Muslim problems. Let me just give you a few examples. Yeah, examples that we today give, cause problems to another Muslim. Let's say we've got a wedding in the family. You know, the whole house is all decorated. Yeah, and then suddenly, ma'azallah, you know, we've got loud music on because we do these functions, don't we? You know, so-called parties, ma'azallah, all full of sin, illa masha'Allah. Then what happens is the music's out blasting. Our neighbors can't get to sleep. Now, and then what happens if the neighbor comes down and he says, please, can you put the music down? I can't get to sleep. I've got to go to work in the morning. I've got to try to wake up for my Fajr Salah. Please put the music. You know what people say? Who the hell are you to say this to me? Go back home and sort yourself out. I'm going to put more music on. That is one of the things that is destroying our ummah. That is one of the biggest cancers of the society that is destroying our neighborhoods as well today. You know, brotherly love is all gone out of the window. Why? If you want to, you know, if you're having a party, ma'azallah, you shouldn't have music anyway. And because you're doing one thing which is a sin, and the other thing is you're causing other people problem. Yeah. Even, you know, let's go to the other extreme. One extreme was that they've got music on, which is haram, which is a sin. The other extreme was, yeah, we've got a mafil mirad in my house. We've got a speaker system blowing it out. Yeah, our next door neighbors want to go to sleep. They need to wake up for Fajr. They need to go to sleep. Their small child is crying. They've got elderly parents that are going through a problem. But because I've got a mafil mirad, I'm doing something good. No doubt you are doing something good. But what thing you are doing wrong is that you've got the volume too high. You're disturbing other people. Do you think that will be counted as worship? Do you not think that because of you doing this good thing, you are still causing a pain to other people as well? So even if you are doing mafil milad at home, you've got mafil nat at home, try to keep the volume on a level. Try not to cause harm to anyone else as well. Another example. Yeah, you're going for a janazah, and I've seen this many times. You're going for a janazah, and you park in front of someone's garden, their driveway. The guy wants to go to work. Your car is stood in front of him, is blocking their driveway. He's honing and honing, and you come back, and now this is going to escalate. I've seen people fighting. Yeah, why? Why did you park my car? And the person is like, so what are you going to do about it? Tu kya kar se? What are you going to do about it? I went to read a janazah. Yeah, go and read your janazah. No one's stopping you. But why are you blocking that person's driveway? You know, he is right, you know, of calling, of arguing with you because you're blocking his driveway. He's getting late. He might have an emergency at home and you're blocking the driveway. Do you not think that we will be answerable to Allah Ta'ala on the day of judgment for this? Do you not think that Allah Ta'ala is going to judge us and ask us why we did that? Even though we are wrong, we expect that person to apologize. Maafi mang. I'm not going to move my car from here. Maafi mang se de mera saam. Khuda ke bande, you are wrong. You should not have parked your car there. And now you're asking that person to ask forgiveness from him. Another example that I could give you. There's so many examples, yeah? There's so much litter outside your own house. What happens? That litter, you know, if the wind blows, that litter is going to blow into other people's homes as well. Because you have not cleaned your garden. You have not emptied your bin. All that litter is flying to other people's homes. And then what happens is people will knock on the door. Can you please sort out your bin? Then there's a way of telling other people as well. You know, even if that person's litter is flying all over, don't go guns blazing and say, you know, who the hell are you? Look at your place. Look at it. It looks like a trash. It looks like a trash can. It looks like a rubbish truck. Sort yourself out or else I'm going to call the police. That's not going to solve anything. What's going to happen is things are going to get escalated. Things are going to get so bad that you might end up arguing with one another. There was an incident where someone sent me a video clip. You know, it was snowing. Now, what happened was this guy was trying to clean, you know, his snow. And then what was happening, he was throwing into someone else's garden or he was throwing into his driveway or something and it was blocking him. So the other person comes on and says, how dare you block my garden? You know, he could have said that, look, what, you know, or if you think that if I go and argue with him, just call the police and say that, look, there's a person out there. Make sure that he doesn't find out that I called you. You know, they'll sort you out. But that person went there, guns blazing. Who the hell are you throwing this snow into my garden? You blocked my driveway. What is happening? And then what happens? The other guy goes inside, gets a gun, and kills both of the husband and wife. He kills them. Yeah? Over a little thing, you know, two people ended up dying. Now, these are the things that are happening every single day. And every single day, these things are happening. You know, we talk about neighbors from hell. These are neighbors from hell. You don't need neighbors like that. But if someone does something wrong, they've done something wrong, please forgive them. Yeah? You're in the masjid. Another scenario I'll give you. You're in the masjid. No, we're talking about Muslims. And the masjid is the best place on the planet. Yeah, you're in the masjid. Someone's mobile phone goes off. It's a musical tone. Yeah, that is wrong. No one says that it's right. It's wrong. But when his phone rings, yeah, if you turn out and say, what do you think you're doing? You should be switching your phone off when you come inside the masjid. You should have switched it off or put it on silent. Nothing. What happened? You know, we are where we are. You know, what's happened is that person, you know, right, he forgot. Sorry. The person's even saying sorry to him, but there he's there arguing, telling him about the rules of the masjid, etiquettes and manners of the masjid. But, you know, someone should be teaching you the etiquette of the masjid as well. Why are you shouting inside the masjid and telling him off? You are doing wrong as well. So as Muslims, we need to be ruhama'u bainahum, like the sahaba ikram. We need to be kind to one another. We need to forgive and forget one another's problems. And we need to try to help one another. And if you can't help someone, don't make things worse for them as well. You know, have you seen young lads that drive motorbikes? Yeah, they take the silencer off and it's such a huge noise. Even in this country, in the UK, you see kids, you know, lads with, you know, big, you know, silencers and boosters, when they're pumping and they're revving their car, what happens? They're making a big, you know, a huge noise and they'll be driving about in there. Yeah, a few days ago, you know, I was trying to get to sleep and there was a few lads outside my house and they were revving. It was like 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock at night and they were revving their engines and, you know, the whole neighborhood was waking up and these people, they thought, well, we're doing nothing wrong. Where, you know, or they might be thinking, yeah, let's see who comes out, we'll sort them out. But that's not the case. They might not do anything to you. How am I, you know, I wasn't planning to go outside or even saying anything to them because, you know, there's going to be an argument because they might not know me, you know, and they might not, you know, even feel sorry for me that I get to sleep. So what happens is there would have been an argument and then, you know, it would have escalated. So the best thing is just try to ignore them, you know, and just leave it in the court of Allah. And alhamdulillah, because of the Madani mahal of Dawat Islami, I never thought bad about you as well. And I was making dua that, Ya Allah, the way they enjoying their lives in this world, give them a good life in the hereafter as well. And alhamdulillah, so always make dua for someone. Remember, be kind to one another, be good to one another, and always make dua for them as well. Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, you know, you've seen Dawat Islami. Dawat Islami is an open book. And you know, especially on Madani channel, you've seen the works that Dawat Islami is doing, not just in the UK, but around the world, especially in Pakistan, where our main head office is. Well, alhamdulillah, Azawajal, in the UK, there are many, many departments of Dawat Islami that are running. And majority of all these departments are free, fi sabilillah. We don't ask anyone for any fees. We got Jamiatul Madina, where in the Jamiatul Madina, we have roughly about 400 to 500 students. These are Islamic universities where PhD children are studying to become future scholars. And alhamdulillah, azawajal, every year, You know, these students, they come to Jamiatul Madina. Some of them will need accommodation. They've been fed three times a day. You know, there's a separate jamia for women, for girls. Alhamdulillah, they don't have the overnight stay. But these are all costs. And every year, thousands of pounds. And if you look at it overall, the Jamiatul Madina around the world of Dawat Islami, you know, it's a, we need millions of pounds to run these departments. We need Madrasatul Madina. Only 4,000 students in the UK, yet nearly touching 280,000 students around the world that are studying in Madrasatul Madina. Madani Channel, you're watching this. You know how much Madani Channel costs? In the UK, for the satellite that we give, roughly about £32,000. And overall, we're spending about £35,000 on Madani Channel. And Alhamdulillah, as well, Dawat Islami is airing these Madani Channels on satellites, and it's all throughout the whole world. How much do you pay? Nothing. Alhamdulillah, we like to give this beautiful knowledge of the deen free. And every time, I was talking to a Mufti Sahib in our locality, and he says that every time you watch Madani Channel, there's always something that you can learn from them. So please come and help Dawat Islami. MashaAllah, many of you supported Dawat Islami. So please give us your sadaqat, your donations as well. There are so many projects that Dawat Islami is running throughout the whole world. So inshallah, Azza wa Jal, I hope you will help us as well. Dear viewers, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, it's the end of the program. I hope you not only enjoyed the program, but you learned a lot of things as well. Please take care of yourself. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.